Did you have a date?
No.
Mr. Rapaskal says in his answer that you started dating a couple of weeks after you met.
Lovers?
Did he ever live with you?
No.
Did he ever stay at your home?
No.
Or liars?
I live with my fiancé, Your Honor, and a small child. He has never lived at my house.
We were in a relationship from day one.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Minerva Spurlock is suing her former friend, Daryl Abasco, for the return of bail money after he was arrested on a DUI.
Order. All rise. It's case number 311 on the calendar, the matter of Spurlock versus Abasco.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat, please.
Ms. Spurlock, it is your claim that the defendant, who is a friend of yours, owes you for bail.
That is correct.
The defendant doesn't deny that you bailed him out of jail. It was for a DUI. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
Not your first?
Yes, it was my first.
What was your probation for?
I am on probation for petty theft from a while ago.
How long is a while ago?
2 years.
Was there a period of incarceration involved?
No, none whatsoever.
And how long was your probation?
2 years. It should be up soon.
Okay. How much was your bail?
It came to $1,060.
Ms. Spurlock, how do you know him?
I met him when I moved back to my hometown, and I used to take my family to eat at the restaurant that he works at. I met him through his line of business.
So you were a server?
Yes.
Did you have a date?
No.
So you were just friends?
Correct.
Did he ever live with you?
No.
Did he ever stay at your home?
No.
Mr. Rapaskal says in his answer that you started dating a couple of weeks after you met, that you noticed he wasn't around, that you got his number, that you called him. Is all that true?
It is true that I gave my information to his supervisor at work. They had asked for my help. I am working towards my doctorate in clinical neuropsychology, and they asked me for my assistance to see if I could get him out of the house because he had stopped going to work. I had never really talked with him at that point except for on a server basis taking our order.
So you're going to school to be a psychologist?
That is correct.
So what were you doing taking his number?
I did not take his number. Again, his supervisor asked me for my help, and I gave him my number and told him to please pass it on, and that he could call me if he was interested and would like help.
Who called whom?
He called me. I did not have his number, Your Honor.
He called you because you gave your telephone number to the owner of the restaurant.
Correct.
Where he was a server.
Correct.
Your cell phone number, your home phone number?
My cell number.
In what month did this exchange take place?
His wife passed away in April, and it was towards the end of April, beginning of May, when his boss asked me for assistance.
What was your wife's cause of death, sir?
She had MS, and the medication that they gave her counteracted with each other, and she died in the middle of the night.
How old was she?
39.
Do you have any children?
We had 2 children. They were not my biological.
So she had 2 children?
Yes.
Then I'm going to come to you, Mr. Rabascal, because I'm not quite sure about her story.
Okay.
It all doesn't make sense to me. If it doesn't make sense, it's usually not true.
Okay.
You were arrested for a DUI. Where were you coming from?
Her house. In the middle of the night at 4 o'clock in the morning. We had gotten in an argument.
Shh. Okay. 4 a.m. on what date?
The 2nd of July.
Tell me about the argument.
It was in the middle of the night. We were in bed, and it was a trust issue. She kept saying she didn't trust me. Because she went through my phone and found text messages from somebody else. She went through my computer. And we were in a relationship from day one when she came to my house that day. She stayed the night.
Well, tell me, on what date did she come to your house?
It was May 9th.
How do you remember the date?
Because we went through it trying to decide how long we were together a couple times. And we decided it was May 9th. We broke it down.
So you were leaving her house, you'd had a fight at 4 o'clock in the morning, and that was on July 2nd, but you were arrested for a DUI, which means that during the course of this fight, somebody was doing some drinking.
I was 4 hours previous. I was at my house, and I was at a bar. And then I went to her house.
Invited or uninvited?
Invited.
What time did you get there?
Between 10 and midnight.
And you had your own house?
Yes, I do.
Is it a rented house?
I rent it.
How long have you rented it?
4 years.
And you and your wife lived there?
Yes.
How many years were you and your wife married?
4.
Okay. What time did you call her from jail to bail you out?
Right after I got out.
Got out of where?
I mean, right when I got arrested. They took me directly to jail. I took a breathalyzer, went to a phone, called her.
What time did you get to the bail bondsman in the precinct?
It was early morning, around 7 a.m., and it was on July 31st, Your Honor.
Oh, okay.
And what you're telling me is that the story he just told me about having an argument with him about trust issues, going through his computer, et cetera, is all a made-up story?
That is correct, Your Honor.
I don't believe you. Because it's either that or believing that you're practicing psychology without being licensed. I'd rather believe you were just having a bad affair of the heart and put your money on the wrong horse. Okay, in any event, you owe her for the bail. Your DUI, your drunk driving, your bail. How much did you pay her back?
$460. Yes.
When did you pay her back $460?
I paid part of the bail. I had the money on me, and...
How much did you have on you?
$160.
And then how much did you give her?
$300 after that.
When?
A couple weeks. She went on vacation, and when she returned, I gave her the money. Because we went out to eat, and I gave her the money at the restaurant.
Well, I'm not sure what you
I told her I did not have the rest right then, and she was okay with that.
Okay. So that leaves a balance, if I believe you, of $600. If I believe her, she told me that you did give her some, but you still owe her something like $800 because she actually lied to me. She's going to get what she says right here, which is six. Anyway, now we come to your counterclaim. What was your deceased wife's jewelry, which is what you're suing for, doing at her house?
At the time, I had rented an extra bedroom to a coworker who I didn't trust too much. And seeing that I was gone for 2 months at a time at her house, I stayed at her house, stopping in briefly to get my mail. And I took it to her house along with clothing that I would wear on a regular basis to make sure that it would not be stolen at my house because I was not there to watch it. I just didn't trust the people in my house.
Names of the people in your house?
It was my friend Herbie.
And when did Herbie move into your house?
He helped me watch my children when my wife passed, and he's been there since.
What does Herbie do?
He works with me.
As a what?
Server.
Who else?
Hunt.
Is he still there?
No, he is not.
When did he move in?
He moved in July.
How much rent did Mr. Hunt pay you?
He paid me $100 for 6 weeks. It was very hard to get money from him.
Okay. Now, you started to stay at her house, according to you,
yes,
practically immediately. That would be in May.
Yes. I stayed there regular.
May.
Yes.
And only going to your house, according to you, for mail.
Mail and to check in.
Mail and to check in.
Mm-hmm.
And so in what month did you take the jewelry over there? As soon as you moved in?
Between June and July.
What reason would you have to take the jewelry over there in June?
It was closer to July that I took the jewelry. She knows my jewelry was there.
Okay.
She just never returned it.
Go ahead.
I live with my fiancé, Your Honor, and a small child. He has never lived at my house.
In any event, I don't believe the baloney about jewelry.
Thank you.
If you could trust Herb with your children when your wife passed away, I don't understand why you wouldn't trust Herb with some trinkets of jewelry.
It was more of the...
Well, wasn't living there yet when you brought the jewelry over.
I left several things there.
I don't care.
Okay.
Actually. Judgment for the plaintiff for the amount of $600. Your counterclaim's dismissed. That's all.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That is our excuse, Mr. Herb.
She never told me she was married. This all came up. I went to her house in the middle of the night.
He lies about everything. He's telling people that we're in a relationship.
And she didn't want me at her house there for some reason.
When he knows the truth.
Came up with a mysterious son and husband that she never told me about.
No, it's a fiancé.
And she was in a relationship with me the entire time.
I had to get the police involved, and it was just too much harassment.
She's used to using men for money, and maybe she thought that she could...
That's ridiculous. I don't need anybody's money except for my own.
...benefit by my wife's insurance or something, because that's what she does.
There are some awful people in the world.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Mancini versus Maynard Herrick. Step forward.
Paul Mancini is suing Sean Maynard and his girlfriend Melinda Herrick for damage to his car after their son ran into him with his bicycle.
Young man,
Great. Tell me your first name.
Devin.
Devin. On what date did you have this accident?
I don't know.
What date was it, sir?
August 29, 2013, approximately 2:39 p.m.
And Devin, this is your mother and father.
Yes.
So they don't know anything because they weren't with you, right?
I know some, yeah.
They know nothing because they weren't with you. They know only what you told them, right?
Yes.
You were riding your bike. Where were you going?
I was gonna go across the street and catch up with my friends.
Okay, let's come over here so that I can hear you better. I like to be closer to you, Devin.
Okay.
First, I'm going to tell you, Devin, that whatever happens here today, you and I have to know one thing. This was an accident. It was not an on purpose, right? Neither you nor Mr. Mancini planned on colliding that day. You were trying to catch up with your friends.
Right.
He was driving.
Yes.
Home to work.
I was taking my younger brother to San Luis Obispo to get his paycheck.
He was doing an errand with his younger brother, and neither of you were doing anything terrible. So I want you to understand that.
Right.
I also want you to understand that you are never going to get into trouble with me because this was an accident, right?
Yeah.
Unless you don't tell me the truth. That you understand, right?
Yeah. Perfect.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He hit my tire, which turned my tire.
No, you hit his car.
Right.
You hit his car in the middle, not in the front, because you weren't looking where you were going.
Right.
Good.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Motorist Paul Mancini says 12-year-old Devin Maynard ran into him on his bicycle. He is suing for the damage to his car.
So the first thing that I like is that you said to me you were trying to catch up with your friends.
Right.
What had you been doing with your friends?
Actually, it was just right after school.
And you take your bike to school?
I used to.
Did you on that day?
Yeah.
And your friends also took their bikes to school?
No, they were like walking.
So just you had your bike?
Right.
How much before you were trying to catch up with them did they leave school? A minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, do you know?
We left around the same time.
So how come you got left behind and they were walking?
Because the road was like going up towards another road and the other side was kind of hard to tell, but they were up a little bit more and I was just coming down from a steep hill, so I had to slow down and then I had to cross another street and then right when they were up there, they were pretty far up the other road.
That is so much that I don't understand, Debbie. You were trying to catch them.
Right.
Did they go in a path that a bicycle couldn't go?
No.
So you could have followed them.
Right.
And you left school at the same time.
Right.
Now, you came down a steep hill.
Right.
And I want you to tell me, after you came down the steep hill, what happened?
There was a driveway with the steep hill, and I stopped at the driveway, looked both ways, crossed the street, and then on the other side of the street, I went towards the highway or the street and I was trying to catch up. They were on this side, I was on this side. They were up here and I was riding my bike to catch up. Right when I finally caught up, there was a turn. I stopped, they crossed the street over there. I figured I'd go this way and meet up over on the bridge. And I crossed the street and what happened was there's like a bunch of traffic, sorry, and I looked both ways and I was trying to cross. Then some man said, hey, I turned and looked and that's when Mr. Mancini hit me.
Some man said, hey?
Yes.
Mr. Mancini said, hey?
No, apparently.
Somebody else?
Yes.
Just somebody else said, hey?
Yes.
Now, when they said, hey, who were they talking to?
Me.
To you?
Yes.
Had you passed this man?
What do you mean?
Was this man walking or in a car?
He was in a car.
I want you to walk over there.
Okay.
And I want you to point out to me where the man was who was in a car who said, hey.
Well, he'd be about...
No, walk, go on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're coming from where?
I'm coming from the school where that turn came, and then I was on the sidewalk.
You're on the sidewalk,
yeah. My friends crossed the street about right here and started to go this way. So I went this way, and we were supposed to meet in this about area.
Who was supposed to be there, your friends?
Me and the friends. That's where we were supposed to meet.
Okay, so you wanted to meet up with your friends over there. They had already crossed the highway.
Right.
So you, just a second, Devin, let's get this clear.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Perfect. We're on the same page. Actually, all of us are on the same page. Even Devin, who tried to throw in a couple of little editorialized thoughts that he had over there.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Motorist Paul Mancini says 12-year-old Devin Maynard ran into him on his bicycle. He is suing for the damage to his car.
What you're telling me is you went out between parked cars.
No.
They were cars that were moving? That they were either moving or parked. You can't have it both ways, Devin.
Right.
Were they parked or were they moving?
They were parked.
They were stopped, so there was nobody in them.
Right. No. It was a highway, and then down the road there was a red light. There was a line of cars, and that's why they were stopped, and then that's why they were there.
So they were stopped.
Right.
And so you went in between cars that were, in fact, in a moving car lane.
Right.
I want you to show me where the car was with the man who said, hey.
He was about right here.
Just a second. Point to the car where he was.
Right here.
That's right. He was in the car that you cut in front of.
Yes.
And he was saying hey to you.
Yes.
And you turned around to look at him.
Yes.
And then, when you turned around to look at him...
He just says, look out, and I...
No, you didn't say that.
No,
he said to you, hey. That's what you just told me here, Devin.
Right.
Remember what I told you before?
Yeah.
Don't make anything up.
No.
He said, hey. You said, I turned around to look at him, and that's when Mr. Mancini hit me.
Yes.
Now, when you say he hit you, did he hit you head on so that your bike went over, or did you hit his car with your bike?
He was passing, and there's more cars right here, and I was about to cross the street, and he hit my tire, which turned my tire to hit.
No, you hit his car in the middle of his car.
Right.
Not in the front.
No.
He didn't hit you. You hit his car in the middle because you weren't looking where you were going.
Right.
Good. No, that's easy. Now you can go back there. Perfect. Now we're done. This was not a difficult case. See what happened. Got what happened. So, car was damaged?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
And you took his bike away from him, so he doesn't bicycle to school anymore.
That's right.
Perfect. We're on the same page. Actually, all of us are on the same page. Even Devin, who tried to throw in a couple of little editorialized thoughts that he had over there.
Judge Judy continues. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay, can I have a picture of your car and an estimate to fix it?
I have the police report also, 3 photos and 2 estimates, but I'll just give you the 1 estimate now.
We have 3 estimates or you have?
2 estimates.
I'd like to see both.
And the police report?
Yeah. Well, everybody sort of supports your ultimate story, Devin, including you, that you hit his car with the handlebars of your bike. And you said you didn't see the car, which was absolutely true because you were turning around, you weren't paying attention. And you're not supposed to be crossing there anyway, right? Perfect. Lucky you weren't really hurt. And the police concluded that it was his fault. That's easy, okay? What's the age of your car, sir?
2000.
When did you purchase it?
2005.
You see if you can have it fixed for $600, Mr. Mancini. Judgment for the plaintiff, that's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused, Ms. Stefano.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
He's being greedy. He wanted to get paid cash.
He talked about it.
I offered to pay him cash numerous times. He denied it.
But once I went and got an estimate and found out...
He didn't want to sign a check or a document to show proof that I paid him in full.
What it's going
to
cost, that his estimate for giving me...
And he kept wanting cash...
Money outside the courtroom. I couldn't fix it for that.
So many occasions to the point to where I couldn't pay him anymore.
And at that time, the defendant said, oh, he's just making up these estimates on his own.
You can't trust people.
Even though they're on the company letterheads and like everything else.
Unfortunately, yeah. Some people just aren't a man of their word.